Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I won't take long tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And Pastor had told me ahead of time that he was going to be out of town and that I had to prepare a message. And when he tells me that, I usually always have sermons ready to go in case he randomly calls out Wednesday, afternoon, says I'm not coming in today, you got to take over. Or if he calls me on a Sunday morning, I usually always have sermons ready. But as soon as he told me that I'll be preaching tonight, for some reason, the first thing that came to my head, to my heart, that the Lord put in my heart, was to preach a message on examining your spiritual life. And I know I had read through my Bible many times. The Bible talks about that, examining ourselves. And I was thinking, man, where is that passage? I know I've read it before. And it was Sunday morning. I was doing my Bible reading, and I was in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And there it was. The Lord just, He showed it to me. And that's where we're going to be at tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be reading verses 4 through 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 9. The Bible says this: "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." Verse 5. "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates?" Verse 6. "But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates." Verse 8. "For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak, and ye are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection." The title of my sermon tonight is "Examine Your Christian Life." Examine your spiritual life. Many Christians today go through their Christian life without examining their spiritual life. It's important that you examine your spiritual life every day as you pray and as you read the Word of God. Especially if your desire is to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever you do. When we examine and look into our spiritual life, it shows us what we need to work on. And if we're honest tonight, there's a lot that can be worked on each and every one of us. I can admit that right now. There's a lot of things I need to work on in my personal life, in my spiritual life. And that's just not for me, but that's for you as well. There is a lot of things that you can work on. And it's not so much my job to point that out. I don't know your personal life. But that's something between you and the Lord. Let's look at verse 4 here at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. "For though he was crucified through weakness," the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified through weakness. The Lord Jesus Christ, he became weak. The Bible says he became sin for us. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Lord Jesus Christ became sin for us. He did not sin. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says this: "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified through weakness so that he could be nailed to the cross. He could have had a legion of angels come and help him, but he didn't, so that he could complete the Father's will. I mean, Jesus Christ, he was saying he was the king. People were saying he's the king. And I mean, you had all these Jews that were crucifying him, and they probably thought, you know, if he says who he is, why doesn't he come and so we won't kill him, we won't crucify him. But the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to complete the Father's will. The Lord Jesus humbled himself. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I hope you don't mind using your Bible tonight. We are in the house of God. Amen. And we're preaching from the Bible. Philippians chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 5 through 8. The Bible says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. We see there in verse 4 that he was crucified through weakness. Weakness, especially when you show weakness, it could be a sign of humbleness. I'll give you an example. When you make a mistake, okay? When you make a mistake, sometimes you got to ask for forgiveness. And you make a mistake and you have to admit it. And for some people, that's hard. That's very hard to admit that they made a mistake. But when you admit it and you ask for forgiveness, you're humbling yourself. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't make any mistake here. He just became sin for us. He loved us so much. He died on the cross for us. But through weakness, he was crucified through weakness. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he humbled himself. When a parent, when they make a mistake, and they sit the family together, and the parent, whoever made the mistake, they're in front of the family, they say, "Son, daughter, you know, wife or husband, please forgive me. I did this. I shouldn't have done this." Maybe to you at that moment, it could look like a sign of weakness. Okay? But in reality, it could also be a strength. Because your children and your wife or your husband, whoever it is, they see that you're humbling yourself. And they can respect you more. And they can love you more. Okay, humbling yourself, that's very important. Let's stay there in verse 4. "But he still lives by the power of God. Yet he liveth by the power of God," the Bible says. After Jesus died on the cross, he rose from the dead on the third day. Amen. And his resurrection represented the power of God. We are weak, but have power when we live in him. That's still in verse 4. "For we are also weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." We can live a better Christian life if we abide in him. If we decide to stay close to him through prayer, through reading the word of God. Let's go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, a very well-known passage. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15. Let's read verses 3 and 4. John 15, verse 3 and 4. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me." We can live a better Christian life if we abide in him. Taking time throughout our day to read his word, to pray, to get to know him, to examine ourselves. Let's look at verse 5. There in John chapter 15, verse 5. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. We won't have a successful spiritual life, a successful Christian life, without Him, without the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you don't take God serious, how will you have a successful Christian life? The Bible's clear. Jesus said it. Without me, ye can do nothing. We won't be able to triumph, have victory over sin, over our struggles without Him. You need to understand that the Bible, the Word of God, walking with the Lord, reading His Word, and praying is a foundation for your life. It's a foundation for your life. There's this little song. I've sang it before. The bus kids, they know it. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The wise man builds his house upon the... That rock represents the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's somewhere, I think it's in Matthew 5 or Matthew chapter 7, around there. I'm pretty sure you've read that portion of scripture in the Bible before. But you got the wise man and then you got the foolish man. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. The wise man built his house upon the rock, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. And the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The sand is not stable. When you step on sand, you'll see your foot. It will sink into the sand. On a rock, that won't happen. It's solid. It's strong. It's a strong foundation. When you understand that reading your Bible, taking time throughout the day, I need to read my Bible early in the morning when I wake up, because throughout the day I probably won't do it. So I just, first thing I do, read my Bible and pray. If you don't take time throughout your day to spend time with the Lord, reading the Bible, praying, examining yourself, you won't have a successful spiritual life. You can't. It won't happen. You're going to be worldly, you're going to be fleshly, you're going to be living for the world, the devil, your co-workers that are not saved, they're not even going to know the difference. You say you're a Christian, it's impossible. Without Him, you can't do anything. You can't do nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember back in college, I'll say his name, I had a very good friend, his name's Zeke, and he was the youngest one out of our group. Back in college, I used to hang out with the goofiest guys. I don't know how. I mean, we just connected. Probably has to do kind of with my personality as well. But, I mean, they were the goofiest guys, but they were spiritual. I always made sure that I told myself, when I go to Bible college, I'm going to have good friends. And, I mean, they were goofy goofballs. But the Lord would use them. I remember I had a friend named Jeff, goofy kid, very goofy. He was weird, and the teachers didn't like him because he was too loud. And his senior year of college, they made him into a bus captain, and everyone was all shocked. I was the one that actually convinced the bus director to make him into a bus captain because he was working in my route, and he was doing an incredible job. And everyone thought I was crazy, but I just knew that Jeff, he would walk with the Lord and pray. And I remember he became a bus captain, and he had the biggest route. He was bringing over 50 kids. And that was a lot back in college. I mean, my route was only bringing about 15 to 20. And I mean, he was packing out his bus, and the Lord was using them. But anyway, I don't know how I got there, but my friend Zeke, he's a very good friend, and he's the youngest out of our group. And, you know, he's very honest. And one time I was on a three-way call with him, and we were talking about something. We wanted to do something in the future in the ministry. And Zeke said, well, right now, he's very honest. He said, I'm not right. He's a good kid. He's a bus captain and everything. He loves the Lord, wants to be a pastor. But he'll be honest. He'll say, well, right now, guys, I'm not right with the Lord right now. And he's very honest about it. He says, I'm not right with the Lord. And that can happen to any of us. It could happen to me, a spiritual leader, to you. And maybe right now, some of you guys aren't right with the Lord. I don't know. I don't know your personal life. But if you're not right with the Lord, you got to get it right. You got to abide in Him. Take time. Read your Bible. Pray. Examine yourself. Amen? Amen. Let's look at verse 5. Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Let me get back here to 2 Corinthians 13. He says this, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. How important is that? Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Do you ever take time aside to check on your spiritual life? Just think about that for a moment. Do you ever take time aside to check on your spiritual life? I know for a fact right now, I'm a very ambitious young man sometimes, and when I don't see the results that I want, I get mad. And I started noticing that. And I know right now, in the time that I'm in right now, I'm single, I work at the church, I'm always busy, but I have a lot of time to see what the Lord wants me to work on. And that's good. I noticed that. I would ask God, God, why do you have me in this situation right now? You know, it's good to ask that sometimes and then examine yourself. Maybe you're not in the situation that I am, but you're in a different situation. Maybe you could be going through a trial, a problem, financial problems, spiritual problems, relationship problems. I don't know what it is, but look, examine yourself. God has you there for a reason. Do you examine yourself? Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. That's a big one. It is essential that we examine ourselves daily. That's the purpose of reading your Bible and praying every day. Walking with the Lord every day. It's to examine yourself. It's important. It's essential to examine yourself. When you take time to read and pray, you are examining yourself. You're looking at yourself. What am I doing wrong in my spiritual life? What do I need to get right with God? What do I need to work on? The Word of God, it's like a mirror. Okay? When you're getting ready for church, or the ladies, when they're putting on their makeup, I don't know what they put on, all that stuff, they're looking at a mirror. All right? They on the mirror, they can see what they need to cover up. I don't know how it works, but, you know, they got to put on the lipstick and mascara. I think that's how it's said. And they look at a mirror. Same thing. When you read a Bible, when you're reading the Word of God, it's like a mirror. It's showing you what you need to work on. And lately, I've been seeing that a lot. When I have my time with the Lord, I could just see God's just talking to me. I can just see it. When I'm praying and I'm examining myself, I can just see it. And when you start doing that, God's going to show you. This is the mirror right here. He's going to show you. You need to examine yourself. You need to see what you need to work on. The Word of God is like a mirror. Are you looking to see what needs to be fixed in your spiritual life? Examine yourselves, the Apostle Paul said. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. You say you're a Christian. You say, well, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I'm going to heaven the day I die. Well, examine yourselves to see that if you are in the faith. Let's keep looking there at verse 5. We are to prove our own selves. He says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Prove your own selves. That's very important. You are fighting against your own flesh. Every day, that's what you're fighting against. The world, the devil, and the flesh. You're fighting against what your flesh wants. That could be a lot of things. Maybe you struggle with your language. Maybe with lust. Or maybe with anger. Or I don't know what other sin. There's a bunch of sin. I don't know what it is. But you're constantly always fighting against your own self, your flesh. And we are to prove, the Bible says, our own selves. When you have to prove yourself, you have to challenge yourself. Okay? So, Do you challenge yourself? Are you proving yourself? Maybe it's a struggle to get up early in the morning, to pull out your Bible, to get a prayer journal and pray. But you know what? When you say, you know what? I'm going to try to read my Bible and pray. You know what you're doing right there? You're challenging yourself. And when you actually do it, you actually read your Bible, you actually pray, you're proving to yourselves. To yourself. We are to prove our own selves to see if we're in the faith. Prove yourself. You're going to have to challenge yourself. Are you putting in the work to prove yourself? You know, the Christian life, it's not just something where it happens, you're going to let go of sin like this. It's all gone. It's daily, constantly reading the Bible, praying, growing, walking with the Lord. That's what it's about. And you know, sometimes we're going to make mistakes. We're going to fumble, stumble. We're going to fall. But God's grace, it's greater. Amen? And that's what it's about. Just constantly examining yourself. Check yourself that you're in the faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, no one knows when He's coming back. But He's coming back soon. And sometimes I'll read end time verses in the Bible, and it just encourages me. I just say, man, Jesus is coming back soon. And look, you can just see by how the world is. I mean, it's wicked. It's terrible. Every day, Pastor was talking about watching the news on Sunday evening when he was preaching. I don't watch the news. I don't like watching the news. It's bad. It's ugly. It makes me sad. I don't like watching the news. But I have a couple friends that they like watching the news, and they'll send me some crazy video through message. And I had a friend send me a video about World War III maybe possibly starting. I've been hearing that for the longest time ever. But you just never know. I mean, these are already signs that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And when I read my Bible, I'll read through some end time verses. I get stirred. I get encouraged. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. I want Him to find me being faithful to Him. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to find me serving Him. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to find me in church. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to find me reading the Bible and spending time with Him. I get encouraged when I read something like that. And you are to prove your own self. You are to challenge yourself every day. Are you putting in the work? Put in the work. It takes time. It takes work. Let's go to verse 7. Verse 7, I'm running out of time. The Bible says this, "Now I pray to God that ye do no evil." He says, "Now I pray to God that ye do no evil." Examine your lifestyle. Do no evil. The Apostle Paul says, "I pray that ye do no evil." I pray. Pray for one another. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ here in this building. The Lord's put you in this body of Christ for a reason. Pray for one another. I always, every day, I try my best to pray for the teenagers, for the bus kids, pastor, the leaders here at the church. I pray for them. I pray for them. I don't want them to do evil. The Apostle Paul, he says here, "Now I pray to God that ye do no evil." Don't do evil. Examine your lifestyle. Is it wicked and evil? How's your lifestyle? You say you're a Christian. People know that you come to this church. The neighborhood, they know. Oh, he says, that guy says he comes to this church. He says he follows that guy named Jesus. Let's see. Examine your lifestyle. How's your lifestyle? Is it honoring the Lord? Is it Christ honoring? How's your lifestyle? Are you doing evil? We are to abstain from evil. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, that we are to abstain even from the appearance of evil. Look, if it looks evil, just stay away from it. Don't get close to it. Abstain even from the appearance of evil. I remember back in when I was working security back in California, and I remember the top, it's not the supervisor, he was higher than the supervisor, but he was the commander there for security at the site that I was at, and he was a married man, he was a great guy, he was very nice to us, very kind, he wasn't a Christian or anything like that, He would always go out to lunch with one of his coworkers. It was a lady. And we all knew he was married. He had a family. And he would always go out with her. Go out to lunch. And, you know, people thought, you know, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, especially because they're not Christian, right? And they said, well, he's just going out to lunch with his coworker. She was a pretty lady too. And he would take her out to lunch. And he was married, had his own family. It later came out that he was cheating on his wife with that lady. And I've heard stories like this in churches where men, they'll, you know, oh, she's just a coworker. We're just going out for lunch. You know, you should abstain. Maybe you are just going out for lunch. But the wise thing to do would just be just abstain from it. The appearance of evil, just abstain from it. You never know what can happen. Just don't even get close to it. You never know what can happen. And I've seen this happen in so many churches. The man, he's out, oh, he's just going out to lunch with the coworker. Just abstain from the appearance of evil. Do no evil, the Apostle Paul said. I'm praying for you. Do no evil. Do no evil. Verse 7. We're still there in verse 7. He says this. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, that we should appear approved. not that we should appear approved. Man, that's important right there. Not that we should appear approved. Don't pretend to be something you're not. Don't just come in here and try to look like you're doing right. Don't just try to appear approved. It's all from the outside. You're just trying to appear that, oh, he's a good one. He's a good young man, a good young lady. Don't pretend to be something you're not. How's your character? Don't live a double life. Don't come to church and, you know, you act holy in church. But when you're outside of church, you just act unholy. How's your character? Are you doing the right thing? Don't just try to appear approved. Don't do that. The Bible's very clear. Not that we should appear approved. How's your life outside of church? Don't live a double life. Let's keep going there in verse 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest. Are you doing the right thing? Are you doing the right thing? Here's the question again. How's your character? How's your character? I remember my freshman year of Bible college. Everything happens my freshman year of Bible college. I walk into English class, and English is my weakness. It was my first language, believe it or not. But it was just grammar and all that stuff. It was just horrible for me. And I remember being in English 101. It was my second time taking the class. And my teacher, Mrs. Cooper, she looked at me. I forget what I was doing. And she told me, you know what, Carlos? You have the ability to win the whole world. But your problem is you have no character. And I remember that just stuck to me. I never even knew what the word character meant. I was just a dumb little freshman in Bible college, 19 years old. But it just stuck with me. She said, you could win the whole world, Carlos, but you have no character. And that just stuck with me my 4 years of Bible college. And I remember going to I downloaded an app on my phone. It was a dictionary. And the teens laugh about me because I have a dictionary on my phone. I think that's a good thing. But anyways, I looked up what the word character meant. I started to study the word character. There's a lot of definitions for the word character. But character can basically mean what's the core of you? What are you really? How are you? Are you honest? Are you doing the right thing? Are you doing the right thing when nobody's watching? Who really are you? That's what character is. And character, I would say, is one of the most important things in a Christian's life, godly character. How is your character? I want to ask you tonight. Are you doing the right thing? I remember when I was working security here in a Goodyear, Amazon, and I remember when they were training me. I first got trained. I didn't get trained by this. I got trained by two other workers. They were lazy, And for the job, there's this part where you have to go into the restrooms, and it's an Amazon warehouse, and so people steal a lot of stuff all the time. They'll steal AirPods.